This is our number two.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
It's a world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. Welcome to our Fastest 15. I'm getting a ton of feedback on the text line about Bob the Barber in Snohomish. Some people think he's a hero for standing up to the state. He says he's not going to shut down, even though the attorney general gave him a cease and desist order yesterday. But there was something right at the end of the interview that I didn't notice, but our outstanding technical director engineer, Andrew, I'm going to play this. But before I play it, Andrew, how did you even notice this at the very end?
I was getting my bumper ready, so I just happened to notice it.
Okay, all right. So as I was saying goodbye to Bob, and you know, Bob's a 79-year-old ex-Marine, been cutting hair his whole life, the kind of salt of the earth person I love, and after Andrew pointed this out, I loved how he said goodbye to me on the show today.
You betcha. All right. Talk to you later, baby.
All my best. I'll talk to you later, baby. I felt like I was a Vegas Rat Packer for just a minute. Talk to you later, baby. I want everybody to call me baby. So good catch, Andrew. I appreciate that. I'll use that a lot.
Thank you. I'm blushing right now.
Yeah, no, that made my day. Look at him.
You betcha. All right. Talk to you later, baby.
All my best. Talk to you later, baby. Oh, I wish I was going to Vegas in the days of the Rat Pack. Sammy doing a 2 a.m. show at the Sands. And then Dino, who would do a 5 a.m. show at the Riviera because nobody had gone to bed yet. They'd just go from Sammy's to Dean's. Frank might have been singing at the International. Oh. Why wasn't I around for that when every night would have been?
All right. Talk to you later, baby.
All my best. Yeah. All right, baby. All right, I'll see you. I'm going to sleep till about noon. I'll catch you by the pool, baby. Oh, that's the best. Okay, before I get into the fastest 15 stories here, and Nicole, call me off on this if you want. Can I tell my little front porch story from after the show yesterday, or should I keep that to myself?
Oh, no, you can tell it. I don't mind.
Okay. I don't want people to read anything into this because, first of all, you have
to... It kind of does with the baby thing. It's just how we talk.
Yeah, it does. It does. And people have to understand, you can't even begin to comprehend the nonsense that Nicole and I suffer through because our show doesn't exactly ideologically line up with the rest of the radio station. So we have coworkers who, you know, make judgments about us as people based on our opinions on the air. And, you know, management isn't always happy with my opinion on things. And it's just often us against the world battle for us. And as such, we have become extremely, you know, close as coworkers. But the reason why that's okay is because neither one of us has anything even closely resembling a creepy vibe. I mean, Nicole and friends have gone on vacations with my wife and daughters and me, and we're just very close, but there's nothing untoward or creepy about it in the slightest. So anyway,
I can't say that for everyone I've worked with, but it definitely isn't for us.
Right. Well, and I'll give a perfect example. A year ago, we're in London for the Seahawk game there. And on the next to last night, you had to switch hotels. And we were going to go meet a bunch of friends at a pub. And I said, well, let's get you into your new hotel because you'd stashed your bags at the bell desk at the Seahawks hotel where I was staying. And so we go to your new hotel, and you had about three big bags, and we get in the lobby, and you said, okay, I'll get these up, and I'll meet you down here in 5 minutes, because neither one of us wanted to, I'm going to help you take your bags to your room, which seems ridiculous. And in fact, I
forgot about this story.
I said, I'm going to help you take your bags up. I think we now know that everything's fine here, that there's nothing creepy about this. So anyway, yesterday, I went for my longest walk that I've taken since my knee surgery. I wanted to just really push it yesterday. So right after the show, it started drizzling. I put on my rain jacket, and Buddy and I went for a long, long walk. And we get back, I don't know, about 5 o'clock or so. And there's a Costco cherry pie on my front porch, and it has a note on top. And I always get a little weird. There's a wonderful man. He was the associate pastor at the church we used to attend, and he sometimes brings Costco cherry pies by. He's just a really sweet man. And I just wasn't expecting a pie yesterday. So I carry the pie in, and I'm dripping wet because it's been raining the whole walk. And I set it on the counter, and my wife goes, "Who's that from?" And I said, "I have no idea." And she goes, "Have you read the note?" And I go, "I don't have my glasses. Will you read the note?" And so I have the note right here. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but he said, after the last few weeks, because we have endured a little nonsense that I'm not going to go into. But you said, "I thank God every day we've got each other." And then you wrote a smiley face and a heart and the letter N. So my wife's reading this to me, and she goes, "I thank God every day we've got each other, heart N." She goes, "Who's that from?" And me being the complete, total, oblivious idiot that I am, I said, "I don't know." She goes, "Well, no, who would say I thank God every day and I don't know." I mean, I was just an idiot.
I can't believe it took her that long either.
No, and she goes, "Oh, is it Nicole?" "I don't know." She goes, "Well, is this," and then my wife's getting frustrated with me now. And she goes, "Well, is this Nicole's handwriting?" "I have no idea." She goes, "You've worked together for 5 years. How do you not know her handwriting? Does she sign things with the letter N?" I don't know. And I go, "But yeah, it's probably Nicole." Yeah, so I finally, after my wife, 30 seconds earlier, I find, "Oh, yeah, it's probably from Nicole. Oh, that was nice of her." I'm just such an idiot. I'm so oblivious as I go through life. But anyway, I had a slice last night. I wrote my My Northwest piece at midnight and then treated myself to a thin slice right before I went to bed. So thank you very much. It was very nice.
You're welcome.
Very sweet.
There weren't many there, so I figured I better get you one while it was there, because last time I think I texted you that they were there and they were gone by the next day. So
deeply appreciated. It was very sweet. I really appreciate it. All right. With that as mere prelude, let me get into the fastest 15 here. Speaking of Costco, a guy who's an anti-masker, and by the way, I'm not anti-mask. You know, everybody says, "Oh, you want to go back to the way things were?" Nope, never said that. I wear masks when I go to the store. I have enjoyed working at home. I plan to work at home as long as I possibly can. I like the new paradigm for businesses that have discovered a lot of their employees can work from homes. If that takes cars off the road, if people, save what was wasted in commute, I think that's a beautiful thing. But a lot of people can't, and that's why we got to reopen the economy for the people who have to be at work. But anyway, I'm not anti-mask. I wear a mask anytime I go out to a public store or business. This guy, he went into Costco, and he was so proud of himself. He's recording all of this because he refused to wear a mask. And the Costco employee is really cool, but he's firm. The Costco employee has a mask on. And this guy thinks he's some kind of a hero because he's going to put out on his to all his Instagram followers that he refused to wear a mask at Costco.
I'm going to put you on my 3,000 follower Instagram feed.
I work for Costco, and I'm asking this member to put on a mask because that is our company policy. So either wear the mask.
And I'm not doing it because I woke up in a free country.
Have a great day.
So you're going to take this cart from me.
Sir, have a great
full
day.
Full of stuff.
And then the Costco employee takes the guy's full shopping cart and just takes it away. They're not going to let him go through the checkout because he refused to wear a mask.
Welcome here in our warehouse. You need to leave. Thank you very
here,
much.
You put it on. I'll give you my card. He's going to take the card away because he's a little. There he is, walking away with all my stuff. There he goes. Because I'm not a sheep.
No, you're just a moron. Costco's a private company. They can impose any rules they want on their customers, and that doesn't infringe on your rights at all. As a free American, you can choose to go into Costco with a face mask or not shop at Costco. But don't put yourself out as some kind of a hero because you refuse to follow the Costco rules. They're a private company. They can impose those rules on their customers. Has nothing to do with freedom. Your freedom is don't walk into Costco if you don't like it. Next up, in the Fastest 50, I saw a headline last night that just on the surface looked so ridiculous to me. The headline, wearing a face mask can reduce coronavirus transmission by up to 75%, study says. And I'm thinking, how in the world would they have enough data, as short a period of time that coronavirus has been around, as small as any test group that has been wearing masks versus not wearing masks, how could there be any kind of a statistically, scientifically valid study? And then just the way the headline was worded, wearing a face mask can reduce coronavirus by up to 75%. Well, that's a lot of qualifiers. Can means it might or might not. By up to 75% means it could reduce it 1% or it could reduce it 75%. So I could tell from the headline that the story was likely going to be bogus, and then I started reading it. Here are the details. The study conducted by a team of scientists in Hong Kong found the rate of non-contact transmission through respiratory droplets dropped by as much as 75% when masks were used. So how did they test masks in such a short period of time? They placed hamsters in two cages. One of the groups was infected with COVID-19. The other group of hamsters was healthy. They then put mask barriers on the cages with the COVID-infected hamsters. So I'm just trying to imagine. Did they have just little tiny face masks that had elastic that went behind their little hamster ears that held it around their little pointy hamster mouth and nose? But you're telling me that they can tell from having a couple of hamsters in a cage that face masks reduce coronavirus by up to 75%. That sounds like the fakiest of fake news that I have seen today. Next up in the Fastest 50. We've been talking a lot about Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, who seems to have found a far better way to deal with coronavirus than has Jay Inslee or Andrew Cuomo. Andrew Cuomo's the worst governor in the country because he sent COVID-positive patients to their nursing homes, which we now know directly led to the deaths of thousands and thousands, unnecessary deaths, of thousands of people in New York. Andrew Cuomo, their governor, made decisions that are directly connected to thousands of deaths. So when he goes on CNN today give him a tough grilling about all the human lives that he's cost with his poor decision-making. Now, he goes on with his brother, Chris Cuomo, who had made a cartoonishly gigantic Q-tip to make fun of his governor brother's large nose. Think of how appropriate this is in the, you know, couple of days after they found out that Andrew Cuomo engineered the death of thousands of people.
This is the normal swab I'm holding up here now and for everybody at home. A very valuable object. There's only one company in the entire country that makes these up in Maine. All right, here's the swab. Is it true that this was the swab that the nurse was actually using?
Okay, now he holds up some giant stick with 100 cotton balls taped to the end to look like a gigantic Q-tip.
On you, and that at first it went into your nose and disappeared, so that in scale, this was the actual swab that was being used to fit up that double barrel shotgun that you have mounted on the front of your pretty face. See, I said I was going to be nice.
Can you imagine? I mean, Jay Inslee gets nothing but softballs in Olympia. Donald Trump gets run roughshod over by the White House press corps. Andrew Cuomo, days after it's revealed that his decisions directly led to thousands of deaths, and he's clowning it up with prop comedy. Suddenly he's doing Carrot Top stuff on CNN. Oh, yeah, it's a big yuck 'em up. If you have political cover from the media, it's unbelievable. And that is your Fastest 15.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes in the News. Fast. Stories, Fastest 15.
You give us 15 minutes, we'll give you the world. Hey, we're going to check the news for you, and then we'll talk with the community activists. The socialist Marxists on the Seattle City Council want to ban cleaning up any tent encampments, including on private property, which means Alki, Shilshol, Green Lake, Discovery Park will be the biggest homeless encampment in the country, maybe the world, if they don't stop this. I'll talk to a guy who's trying to stop it next. Well, in the midst of this coronavirus, the Seattle City Council is using this supposed health crisis to try to ram through some unbelievably crazy things. I mean, even by the standards of the Seattle City Council, these things are unbelievably crazy, including a proposal by council members to prohibit homeless encampment sweeps. Even those on private property, you would not be able to go in and clean up. This would be a radical departure that would lead to tents everywhere in the city. James Wong is the CEO of Vibrant Cities, and he's seen what these encampments are doing down in the Chinatown International District. And he joins us here on the Dory Monson Show. James, good to talk to you this afternoon.
Hi, Dory. Thanks for having me.
I have to tell you, Jim, I saw your passion in a Q13 story, and tell me the root of that passion, because I had the same reaction as you to propose that we cannot clean up any of these encampments seems to be the height of insanity and just a city council that has no clue what's really going on the streets.
Yeah, the frustration starts with what the heck happened to our city, right? I grew up here. I'm an immigrant, came to Seattle when I was 10 years old, but I grew up, went to elementary school, high school, college here, so I'm a local boy. The problem is, like, you know, when I drive my friends around town that come to visit, I used to be so proud of, you know, showing off our city. There's so much to show off.
Yeah.
And then now I actually have to take different routes to actually not show them the embarrassing stuff, and it's hard to actually not show the embarrassing stuff anymore because they're everywhere. Right? And I have to explain when we drive on the freeway, when we drive around downtown, when we drive around Chinatown International District, I have to like explain what all these tents are doing around our neighborhoods.
Yeah.
It's driving me nuts.
look, I like you, I was born and raised here. I didn't immigrate. I was born at Ballard Hospital. So I've watched the evolution over my entire lifetime, and it is nuts. So this proposal by Councilwoman Tammy Morales, who is one of the hardcore Marxist socialists on the council, along with Sawant. So she says that she wants to just stop any encampment cleanups, including those on private property. And so what do you think the consequences would be if this were to go through?
Okay, well, the consequences are huge, right? What that means is the city's 6,400 acres of parkland and green spaces will be available for anybody to camp there indefinitely.
Yeah.
Until this legislation is taken off. What that means is, you know, even in front of our kids' schools, now they can't, the legislation says, okay, you can't, you know, camp in front of children's playgrounds, right? That's prohibited. But they can camp in front of the schools, in front of childcare centers, in front of pea patches, community gardens, senior centers, public libraries, anything. And so, and if you, here's the crazy thing about it. If they camp in front of private property or even camp on your private property, yeah, you don't have the right to remove them. Where's the justice in that?
There is none. And you're absolutely right about this, James. What it means is word will be out. I mean, word is already out. They're trying to cut $500 a month checks to heroin addicts who live here on the streets. They have extended the most generous benefits of any city in the country, only to see the problem get dramatically worse. The word is out that Seattle's the place to be if you are a drug addict in the United States. And so they're flooding here. And what you just said, James, is spot on. We are going to see Golden Gardens, Alki, Green Lake, Discovery Park. I mean, all these areas that we consider so precious, we're going to see them turned into gigantic homeless tent encampments if the city council gets its way.
Yes. And Dory, look, Morales said, right, she says that the fact that these continue removals is eroding the trust of the folks in the homeless community. My question is, she's eroding the trust of her constituents, the people that are actually voting her in, the people that are actually paying taxes, the law-abiding citizens. She's eroding their trust. Is she, you know, I think we want to be compassionate, right? We want to take care of folks. But again, I said, this homeless encampment issue, let that go for the roots of the problem. The problem is it's a drugs and mental health issue. We got to go solve this problem. There is plenty of shelters for people to go to. They choose not to go there because they, you know, they have the drug or mental issue. Let's go solve that problem, right? And then, but letting them camp anywhere, that's not compassion. Letting people sleep on the street in the cold, you know, with COVID and all that, that's not compassion. This is wrong legislation. And actually, along encampments throughout our city, that is not compassion.
Well, and not only that, and I know you know this, but in these tent encampments, because heroin is the drug of choice and you need money, you need to either steal or you need to find another way to get your heroin. Yep. And so these encampments are filled with pimps and women who have been turned out as prostitutes. Some of them, little girls as young as 13, that's been proven.
Wow.
And so what our city council wants to enable is a current system where women are systematically getting raped and
sad.
You know, but they claim to care about women and about the desperate, and yet they are willing to enable that. It is so, it's not just sad, it is sick and wrong.
Here's my belief, right? When you allow lawlessness to happen, lawlessness will happen.
Yep.
And this is exactly what the city is doing, allowing this, right? When we know, look, police, I talked to police officers, and they said, you know what? We don't really even try and arrest them anymore you know, for breaking the law, because we know that we're just clogging the system or whatever. So then, you know, we just tell them, hey, stop doing it.
Yeah.
Now, if they know that, and if you know you can carry, I think now you can carry 3 grams of heroin or drug without getting arrested or something, right? That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
That you could carry hard drugs on the street and not get arrested. You know, I mean, if I know I'm not going to get a ticket parking my car in the street, I'm going to park it anywhere.
Yeah,
but, we as law-abiding citizens, we can't, you know, cross the street wrongly because we're afraid of getting a jaywalking ticket. But yet you could, you know, camp anywhere and put up a tent and you could throw garbage anywhere. What has the city become?
Yeah, well, it's become just a dump, and it's a shame. I got to tell you, James, I love your passion, man, and you know, it's people like you, and I'll keep being the media voice that stands against this madness. But let's stay in touch, because I can tell you have the same motivation that I have. We love the city.
Can I share something? I share one last point, Dory?
Yeah.
Look,
yeah.
I'm a business guy, and I like to keep to my own business, right? Okay?
Yeah.
But enough is enough. When you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, I encourage every citizen to contact a city council member and make this a state of emergency. We have to solve this homeless encampment issue in the city, or we will not have a city anymore.
Amen, brother. James Wong, the CEO of Vibrant Cities. James, I love your passion. It's great talking with you, and let's stay in touch, okay?
Thanks, sorry.
All right. And I'd love to hear your thoughts on this. You can text me at 98973. That's 98973. Lots more straight ahead here on the Dory Monson Show. So I have a Dory Monson Show alert where I am doing a call to action of our politicians in the state. I should have talked to you about this before, Sean. Do you have anything, it's not really breaking news, do you have anything that would suggest urgency? I don't want to do anything that would be an FCC violation. I don't want anything like that. Do you just have anything in your archives that would suggest urgency when I call on people to do something that I think we have to move quickly on?
I think I can help you with that, Dory. How about this?
What do you got? Let me see. Perfect. It's perfect. How long is this?
Got another 5 seconds, but I can loop it.
Now, we'll loop it for the future, because I'm going to make this the Dory Monson Show alert call to action for our politicians. And today's call to action, the Dory Monson Show, the most powerful radio show in Seattle history, is calling on Washington State Attorney General for the swift arrest of Governor Jay Inslee. And that is because the United States Supreme Court a few days ago ruled that it is illegal in this country to encourage people to come to or stay illegally in the United States. Sean, can you hit the urgent sounder again to punctuate the gravity of what I'm saying here?
Thank you.
So the Supreme Court has resurrected a federal law that says it's a felony to encourage people to come to or stay illegally in the United States. And so, Bob Ferguson, our Attorney General, I'm calling on you to immediately, by the close of business today, or else I'm going to rain heck fire down on you tomorrow. If Jay Inslee is not arrested, because by declaring Washington... Okay, that's enough. Now it's really annoying me. Thanks, Sean. That was plenty. Maybe we shouldn't have looped it. By encouraging people to come in illegally to the United States and to stay illegally, Jay Inslee is now in violation of federal law, according to the United States Supreme Court. So is Dow Constantine. And so, Bob, I'm calling on the arrest, on you, to arrest Bob Ferguson by close of business today. Jenny Durkin, every member of the Seattle City Council who embraces sanctuary to encourage illegals to come here, I would like every one of them arrested by close of business. And in fact, Bob Ferguson, you, in violation of federal law, encourage illegals to come and stay in Washington. So I would like you to either self-arrest, or if you are not capable of such a maneuver, if you're not flexible enough, physically, not legally, to arrest yourself, I would like one of your stooges, the people who send letters to barbers to stop cutting hair, I would like one of them to also arrest Bob Ferguson. So to follow the Supreme Court dictate that came down a few days ago, the Dory Monson Show, and by the way, this is the opinion only of the Dory Monson Show. My opinion does not reflect that of Bonneville, Seattle, or anybody else, except the right thinking in the world. So I would like to see Inslee, Dow, Jenny, the entire Seattle City Council, and AG Fergie arrested by close of business today. Thank you for doing your job. And by the way, the reason this is so important is just this week, Seattle City Council says, hey, we have an idea. Let's take $100 million tax dollars in a collapsing economy and give it to illegal.
You've seen the federal government dole out trillions of dollars in assistance. The sad reality is that not a single dollar will benefit undocumented workers, many of whom are deemed as essential workers.
Okay. Now, it might seem crazy to you, mainly because it is crazy, that when we have record unemployment, that the Seattle City Council would try to attract people with monetary incentives to flood to our region from the rest of the country, who would eventually take jobs at the lower end of the economic sector, when we are going to need every available job for U.S. citizens in the worst unemployment of our lifetime. So, in fact, arrest Lorena Gonzalez twice, Bob, right after you arrest yourself. Okay, so if things go the way our powerful radio show is demanding, you will see a massive shakeup with mass arrests in state government later this afternoon. That is what I have to say to them. Big Lead next.